Welcome to the Guy at the Movies podcast. This is episode 171. This is our Oscar nominations reactions episode. And unfortunately, the expert of the Guy at the Movies podcast on all things awards, Sean, Math Teacher Movies himself, cannot be here today. He is unfortunately dealing with a bout of COVID. Yes, everyone, it is still going around. So be vigilant, take care of yourselves, and try to stay healthy. It's tough out there. It's absolutely tough out there. What we're going to talk about tonight, though, I'm going to run through all of the Oscar categories and give my immediate thoughts, my opinions, my unqualified comments. We'll talk snubs. We'll talk surprises. We'll talk some of the drama that's going on. But let's get into it, because these, I was actually pretty pleased with all these. I gotta say, there's a few areas that I think I would have liked to have seen some different types of films enter the fray, but I think that we have a lot to be looking forward to when the Oscars hit our airwaves in early March. Let's start with actor in a leading role. The nominees for this are Bradley Cooper from Maestro, Coleman Domingo from Rustin, Paul Giamatti from The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright from American Fiction. All right, right off the bat, Bradley Cooper I thought was phenomenal in the movie, in Maestro. It was a good movie. It wasn't necessarily my cup of tea totally, but I really respected the direction, the cinematography, the storytelling, and the performance. Really happy to see him in there. Wasn't sure he was going to make the cut. One glaring omission from this list is going to be Leonardo DiCaprio from Killers of a Flower Moon. I honestly, Killers of the Flower Moon, I should say, I'm fine with this. I didn't think this was Leo's best performance. I was not a big fan of the movie in and of itself. So I'm totally fine that this is the omission, that he's not getting his due with this movie. And I'm glad that it made way, probably not only for Bradley Cooper, but Coleman Domingo here may have been the one that snuck in for Rustin. His performance was phenomenal. The movie itself was really subpar. Wasn't my favorite, wasn't one that I think did much with the material that it had. Maybe the subject itself didn't warrant a full movie, but you know, it was necessary to be told. It's an unsung hero of the civil rights movement that we haven't before explored. Domingo definitely brings that character to life, and it's a really welcome inclusion here. I'm happy for him. Paul Giamatti gave what I believe is his best performance of his career in The Holdovers. I've mentioned before, this was one of the movies I saw at the Philadelphia Film Festival last year, and I absolutely adored it. I do believe that The Holdovers is a new holiday classic, and I'm looking forward to watching it time and time again. But Giamatti, he won the Golden Globe for this, and he definitely deserves all the praise that he's getting. I'm looking forward to what he does in this. I do believe that it's Cillian Murphy's award to lose here. He was phenomenal on Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is one of the best movies of the year, hands down. So he's definitely the front runner. We'll see where it goes. Jeffrey Wright also was a nice inclusion here. I always forget that, you know, while Best Picture is nine titles, that's not how the acting categories play out. So I was a little surprised to see him in here, but American Fiction is another one of those that's just a really, really incredible movie, a satirical look at sort of how race is handled in society. And he's, again, I said this about Giamatti, but I think Wright has never been better. Let's talk actor in a supporting role. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. He snuck in there. He absolutely snuck in there. But it is well-deserved. He's phenomenal in this role. There's a conversation between Wright and Brown later in American Fiction that is just one of the best scripted scenes of the entire year, honestly. And so I'm happy to see him included in this. It's a long time coming. He's been a fantastic television and film actor for quite a while. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. He was very good in this movie, even though I didn't care for it. Robert Downey Jr. obviously is the front runner. He's, as well as Murphy does in this film, Downey Jr. is just as good, if not better, in my opinion. He carries it, and the film is just as much about him as it is Cillian Murphy's character of Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling made the cut for Barbie. I'm happy to see him in here, and we'll talk a little bit more about the snubs as we move along. And Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things, he really was excellent in this movie. A different type of role for him, a little bit sillier, a little bit looser, But he is part of the reason why Poor Things really sung and why it was a solid, solid movie all around. Actress in a leading role, Annette Bening for Naiad. I can't believe that she made this cut just because of the controversy around the movie. I haven't seen it, to be honest, but everything I've heard is that it was fine. But hey, she's a great actress. I'm happy to see her included. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, as expected. Phenomenal performance, quiet, powerful performance. Excited to see her make the run here. I believe she becomes the first Native American actor nominated for an acting role or in a leading category. So congrats to her. That's incredible. Sandra Hohler for Anatomy of a Fall. Phenomenal performance. That movie is just one that really snuck up on us this year. Very happy to see her nominated here. Kerry Mulligan for Maestro. I walked out of Maestro saying that her performance was one of the best and that she better be nominated. So I'm happy to see that she was nominated here. Mulligan is also one of those performers who is just consistently powerful. Very happy to see her. And Emma Stone for Poor Things. Probably one of Emma Stone's best performances. Goofy, but really insightful and deep. Once you see the development of the character from sort of the innocence of the beginning of the movie to her understanding later on. Obviously, the glaring omission here is going to be Margot Robbie for Barbie. There's a lot of dialogue online right now and on other podcasts about how this is a really sad omission. She was amazing in this. And I don't think that we can overstate the impact that Barbie had on the film industry this year. Along with Greta Gerwig, and you know, she wrote this film with Noah Baumbach. I'm really, really surprised that Robbie wasn't nominated. I was fully expecting her. I'm one to jump on any cause when it comes to you know, equal rights and making sure that we are treating everyone fairly here. A lot of people are saying that people are missing the message of the film because of Gosling being nominated and Robbie not. I don't necessarily see it that way. The reason I don't is because I think there were a lot of phenomenal performances in this category. And, you know, maybe she should have gotten in over Annette Bening, in my opinion. But there's a number of great performances that could have been recognized. And someone always loses out. I don't know that it would really kind of be the cause that I take up right now. It is interesting that the movie makes the points that it does, and then this is something that happens. But I think there's more to this dynamic, and I'm not necessarily sure that we should be so quick to, you know, try to burn down the Academy because of it. Let's talk about actress in a supporting role here. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer. I was surprised by this. I love the performance, thought it was great. Don't know that there was enough in there for it to rise to a supporting performance, supporting role nomination. I honestly, over Emily Blunt, would have loved to have seen Rosamund Pike from Saltburn. Saltburn's a movie that got snubbed all the way through, which is unfortunate. But hey, you know, there's always, again, always some snubs. There's always movies that are left out, always performances that are left out. But good for Emily Blunt. She's a fantastic actress. She makes every movie that she's in better. So it's really nice to see her get the recognition. Danielle Brooks. This is a phenomenal nomination. Because if you've seen The Color Purple, in my opinion, not the strongest movie, and I think this is the only place that it's recognized by the Academy here in the nominations, but Danielle Brooks is a dynamic powerhouse in this movie. She brings her character to life. She is just a dynamo. And when you think back to when we really all learned her name back in Orange is the New Black, to see what she's done since, and even to think about her in Peacemaker and the role she plays there, she is just really one of those actresses that deserves the recognition for the work that she's put in. And I'm glad that she's getting it for this because her performance was one of my favorites in this movie. I said back when I saw The Color Purple that it was her and Taraji P. Henson that carried the movie. So to see recognition like this for Danielle is phenomenal. America Ferrera as well. I mean, she is someone who's been in the industry for quite a while. She's done a lot, whether it's television or movies. I actually just finally watched Dumb Money last night, and her being in that was fun, even though I didn't love the movie and didn't think all the characters were well written. But listen, America Ferrera has one of the most memorable monologues and I think arcs of any movie this year, especially in Barbie. She was great opposite Margot Robbie and with the rest of that cast. So I'm happy to see her recognized. Out of NIAID, as I mentioned, I hadn't seen it, or have not seen it, but Jodie Foster, her performance is being praised left and right. She's no stranger to recognition. I'm really happy that she's in here as well. She's a solid performer. Devine Joy Randolph as well for The Holdovers. Listen, she has a quote out there. She mentioned something about how she was very attracted to playing this character because it was a simple character. It was a basic character, or a regular person, I should say. Not basic, not simple. A regular person who was brought to life through Randolph's performance. And it allowed her to explore, you know, the grief that she was feeling over the loss of her son in the movie, and the interactions that she has with Giamatti's character and Dominic Sessa's character. She's just a powerhouse in every movie that she's in. Dolomite Is My Name, I think that was the full title of the movie. She was in that as well, and she was wonderful. So it's really great to see her get the recognition here. I mentioned Dominic Sessa. That was his first movie, The Holdovers, and I would argue that the movie doesn't work without him. So the fact that he was left out, I mean, as a newcomer, I guess he has a tall hill to climb here, but I would have loved to have seen him complete the trio here of nominations in probably the supporting actor role. Let's talk animated feature film, because this is pretty interesting as well. The Boy and the Heron, as expected, nominated. Elemental, I mean, you're going to have a Disney movie in there. And when you look at the nominees or potential nominees, there aren't a ton from the big studios. And the big studios always seem to get the recognition here, which I'll probably eat my words in 2 seconds when I address another movie. Elemental wasn't my favorite. It picked up steam later on in its theatrical run and has done better at the box office. But I guess over Wish, which kind of crashed and burned, it makes sense that this would be the one that gets nominated from Disney. Nimona, the Netflix wonder, also a great inclusion here. Very happy to see that. As I Am Robot Dreams, a very unique movie without any dialogue. It is from a smaller studio, and it's nice to see them get the recognition. It's a different type of animated film. It's definitely unique. And listen, that's what the Oscars needs. I'm really happy that people are going to look at this and say, what's Robot Dreams? And if they weren't familiar, they're going to go find out that it is a neon film that is one that they should check out, because it leaves you feeling a certain special type of way by the end of it. And then Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Really, really happy to see this in here because it is a phenomenal film. Surprised it didn't get any love elsewhere. Or as much love elsewhere. So, you know, it definitely probably should have been in for score, in my opinion, but here we are. Cinematography, not much to say here about cinematography. We have El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. All are well deserving of this award, or at least of the recognition of a nomination. If I had to pick where I thought this would go, probably Oppenheimer. I can make a case for Poor Things and Maestro as well. I don't know that I can make a case for Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm unfortunately not too familiar with El Conde. Costume design, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. You know, I think I lean towards Poor Things a lot with this just because of the unique styling of that film. But I also think back to Oppenheimer, and I'm thinking about the detonation of the bomb. And how many actors were included, and the time period that this happened, and just thinking about the costuming of all those individuals to make that seem like a realistic scene. I don't know why that sticks with me. So I could see that making a run for this. Napoleon as well. I mean, the costuming was great. The movie was subpar, but the costuming was great. And, you know, you really felt like you were in that period, even with set design and such. Barbie might even make a run too. Killers of the Flower Moon, I could see based on the appreciated accuracy of the costuming and the way that the characters were depicted and dressed, especially when you're talking about the Native American inclusion. But I don't know. For me, this would probably go to Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer is really going to sweep. Directing. This is really interesting to me, I have to say. Anatomy of a Fall, well-deserved. Killers of the Flower Moon, I don't think this was Scorsese's best. I would have left him out. Oppenheimer, obviously, Nolan deserves it for this one. I've never been Nolan's biggest cheerleader, especially when we got Tenet, and Tenet was... but Poor Things as well. Happy to see Yorgos Lanthimos and his weird focus hit this list of nominees. as well as The Zone of Interest, a really dynamic film, an important film, and a really unique look at a historical time period. I think it definitely deserves space on this list. Core Jefferson, I'm surprised, didn't make the list for American Fiction, given the rest of the love that the film had been receiving. I don't think he received any other nominations elsewhere in other awards either. So I would have loved to have seen him nominated, given that it was his first feature film and it is making the waves that it is. I also would have loved, we're talking about Saltburn here. If I'm being honest, I really would have loved to see Emerald Fennell nominated for Saltburn, because I think that movie is one that we're going to be talking about for years, not only because of how crazy it is and the crazy things that happen from the bathtub to the hookup scene to the grave to the dance scene to the tube, all the things that happen. I think there's a lot more that's layered into this film that we are just starting to unpack. And that people will continue to unpack for years to come. I say this is going to be a Criterion Collection film down the road, and I, for one, can't wait to buy it. Documentary. This is a weird for me, because I'm usually very big into documentaries, and for some reason this year, I didn't watch any of these. I haven't watched one of these. I haven't heard of Bobby Wine, the People's President, but congrats for the nomination. Didn't watch The Eternal Memory, didn't watch Four Daughters, didn't watch To Kill a Tiger, and didn't watch 20 Days in Mariupol. If I was a betting man, based on what I know about the films, I would say Four Daughters and 20 Days in Mariupol probably are the front runners. Documentary short film, I'll just mention them. I don't have much to contribute here, but we have The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nene and Waipo. I like I said, not too familiar, so can't really comment on them, but congrats to them for the nominations. Film editing, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This is interesting. And to me, when I'm thinking about editing, I'm thinking about uniqueness and how the scenes flow into one another. And I come back to Oppenheimer for this, honestly, because of the way that we are flipping between sort of what's happening in, Oppenheimer's point of view and the development of the weapon, but then also flipping over to see Robert Downey Jr.'s moments in the film. So I go Oppenheimer for this. I think they're going to sweep some of the technicals. International feature film is really fascinating. So you have Io Capitano, you have Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest. So I want to back up here and say what's fascinating to me about this is that France made the decision to choose a film called A Taste of Things. They chose that over Anatomy of a Fall to be put into contention for the International Feature Film Oscar. Taste of Things didn't make it. And Taste of Things is a brilliantly directed and filmed movie. I found it boring as hell. Was very, very bored with it. So listen, maybe others felt the same, and that's why it didn't make the cut here. The Teacher's Lounge is one that has made quite a name for itself around the award circuit and in other regional festivals from Germany. It is a very unique story and gripping, and I think that it's one that probably really ensnared some of the voters here. Society of the Snow and Zone of Interest is where I want to focus for a second. I think, personally, that Society of the Snow has every component that screams a win here in this category. But you also have The Zone of Interest, which is in the Best Picture category. For that reason, because it's in Best Picture category, I think voters will look at this and say Society of the Snow is where we're going and vote for that for International Feature Film and then put all their eggs in a basket for a Best Picture upset for The Zone of Interest. Now, I'm not great at predicting what's going to happen. I don't have a good history of predicting all this, so that's probably a reason to believe that that won't happen. But in my opinion, that's probably where I would go if I was a voter here. The fact that The Zone of Interest was nominated for Best Picture shows a lot of love for it. But there also are other international films that are deserving of attention. I think Society of the Snow is a near-perfect film from J.A. Bayona, who's loved for the way that he handles these features. And especially tackling a true story like this is just catnip for the Academy. So I'm going Society of the Snow here. Yes, there's a little bit of personal bias there because I love the film, but I'm hopeful to see that play out that way. Makeup and hairstyling. We have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. Not much to say here. I think it's going to be between Maestro and Poor Things for this. I may even go Maestro just based on the way that they aged Bradley Cooper throughout the film. Music original score. This is an interesting one too. American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. For this, John Williams obviously is beloved, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny does have some nice remixes of, you know, the original indie tune, and some great updates. I think Oppenheimer takes it here. I think Ludwig Göransson is due. I don't know. Who can predict this, right? I guess it's all within the taste of individuals when it comes to the type of music that carries the film. I think Oppenheimer is, it features a score that definitely complements what we're seeing on the screen. And I just don't see Indiana getting that recognition. Killers of the Flower Moon, maybe, but it felt very one note to me in a lot of ways. I'm surprised that it's nominated. Poor Things has some whimsical elements, and maybe that's enough to carry it over the finish line. Music original song. So Dua Lipa didn't get recognized here for Barbie, for Dance the Night, but we do get I'm Just Ken and What Was I Made For. I don't know if either of them will make the cut. If there was one to make the cut based off of what we've seen already at other award shows, specifically the Golden Globes, I think Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas will take the award for What Was I Made For. But we also have The Fire Inside from Diane Warren and from the film Flamin' Hot that hit Hulu. That was the Spicy Cheetos film. Diane Warren is always a nominee and never the winner. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Is this the year she gets it? I don't know that The Fire Inside really will be the one to get it for her. But at some point, maybe the Academy looks at her and says, you know what? We need to recognize her. It's time. It never went away from American Symphony. I'm interested in the fact that this was nominated, that the song was nominated from American Symphony, but the movie itself wasn't nominated for Best Documentary. And I also should say that Still, a Michael J. Fox movie, was also a snub in documentary. And then Wazazi, a song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon, wasn't very memorable to me, unfortunately. So I can't really say that I'm expecting it to go anywhere. Best Picture. This is a fun one. We have American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives getting the love in here, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. To me, this is what was really expected. I don't really know that there's anything I would have liked to have seen in there other than that. May December may have been one that could have made the cut, but I didn't think that went as far as it could have with the actual film and the messaging that it was saying. I think it was still a little vague and probably turned off some of the voters. I also am surprised, I think, that American Fiction made it in here, but I'm very happy to see that it made it in. Barbie made the cut here, Anatomy of a Fall. There's two international films here, and that's exciting as well. Past Lives, I think, if it had other nominations, I think it would have a better chance at Best Picture. But I do think this is going to come down to Oppenheimer with potentially The Zone of Interest or The Holdovers upsetting. That's my wild, wild prediction. I also think Saltburn should have been in there, but that's also my personal bias. Production design, Barbie's, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I think I go Poor Things with this, honestly. Poor Things was really whimsical. It took us to like a futuristic time, but not too future. It's just odd. It's Yorgos, right? So I was really into that, and I would like to see that recognized. Animated short film I can't really speak to. Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Can't really say where I think that's going to go, nor can I for a live action short film. The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Wes Anderson being in this category, I think, may have a leg up just based on name recognition and the availability of The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar on Netflix. But it could be anyone's game there. I read Red, White, and Blue and said, oh, Red, White, and Royal Blue. That would be great. But that's not getting the love here. Sound, we have The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, which is now known as Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. This is funny because I think The Creator may get some love here, but Maestro obviously has a lot of great sound design based on the composition of the film itself and the subject matter. Oppenheimer also plays with sound really well, but Zone of Interest does it in a creepy yet impactful way. So I can make a case for all these. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, I don't know that I can make the case for it, but nice to see it recognized. Visual effects, we have The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. All deserving. Napoleon has some really great set pieces that play into the visual effects. The Creator, I think, is going to take this one. While The Creator wasn't the best film of the year, it was visually stunning and absolutely excellent. Godzilla Minus One was made on such a small budget, and so the fact that it looks as great as it does is really phenomenal. That may play into some of the decisions here when it comes to voting, doing a lot with a little. This also is the first Godzilla movie to ever be nominated, and I believe there's been like over 75 Godzilla movies. So that's great. Absolutely wild. Writing, adapted screenplay. This is a category that I hate. For instance, Barbie is included in here, and I can't stand that because while Barbie is an actual, toy and property, the story is completely original and it wasn't adapted from anything. That's annoying to me. But American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. This is adapted, I would say. I could see American Fiction having the upset here, but it's probably going to be Oppenheimer, given that it's the front runner for Best Picture. And the final one here is writing for original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December finally gets some love, and Past Lives. I could see Past Lives making a run here for it. I think I would like The Holdovers. There's just a good feeling around that. But maybe any of these could really take it home. I'm not sure. I don't know about this one. They feel like toss-ups to me. But hey, we'll see what happens. The Oscars are coming up. Oh, geez, when are they? I think they're March 10th, I want to say. But I'm very interested to hear what all of you are thinking. So in the comments of either this, the post for the promotion of this podcast, or in the comments, please make sure to let us know what you're thinking. Maybe we'll do some more fun things as we get closer to March 10th when the Oscars are held in the States. They'll be on ABC at 7 p.m. Are there any other snubs? Anyone that you think should have been nominated for the acting performances? Is there any animated film that didn't make the cut? Notably, we didn't get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Super Mario Brothers included in there, which is interesting, especially given that TMNT Mutant Mayhem had such a unique style. And then, other observations here that I had made, Society of the Snow, I think, like I said, will win the international with the voters. All of Us Strangers not getting any love. I think that could have easily gotten director. It could have gotten screenplay. It could have gotten an acting nomination for Andrew Scott. Very surprised that that's not in there. Charles Melton as well. We should have mentioned him for supporting. No love there, which is kind of incredible. The Iron Claw didn't get any love either. I think this is A24's mistake by releasing it so late in the year. But I'm not sure exactly where it would have gotten the love. I think Zac Efron would have been such a long shot for Best Actor, given the pool that they had to pick from. But he was solid. So it doesn't take anything away from the performance. I'm excited to see what he does in the future. Spider-Verse not getting more love, and then Killers of the Flower Moon, Leo not getting nominated. Quite all right with that, because I did not care for that movie. All right, guys. Well, listen, we will be back next week with some fun on the pod. Until then, talk to you soon.